In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We all pray for certain things, and we all want certain things. And we all have an expectation of what we want to achieve. Quite often we pray for what we want, regardless of whether we think we're open to God's will for it or not. We think we're open. I think we sometimes tell ourselves that we're open. But in actual fact, we're so fixed on precisely what we want that saying your will be done is just academic. We say it, we're used to it, it's how we've been brought up, it's what we understand of Christian life, but we don't really mean it. Because what we say to God is, God, this is what I want, let your will be done, but if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to be really upset. If you don't do what I want, I'm going to feel very disappointed. I'm going to feel like you've abandoned me. The Epistle of St. James, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. We're warned, saying, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a place or such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. It is one thing to make plans, and we must make plans. God himself, in creating the world, made a plan. And his plan was to create everything, and then put humanity in its midst, and then have Adam and Eve in the world with him. Even when we fell, he had a plan. And that plan was salvation. It was to give people life through the cross and the resurrection and bring us back to him. So God has a plan, and we must have a plan. But actually, that plan needs to be followed very, very stringently by, but let your will be done. God, I have a plan in my life. I know what I want. I know what I want to achieve. I know where I want to be. I know what place I want to be in my life. And so therefore, I want you to give me that because you've said to me, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find. So I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. But that needs to be followed by, but that's only according to my limited understanding. It's according to what I want. It's according to the plans I've made. But I am more than happy, I am willing, I actually think it is the greatest wisdom to say to you, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So yes, this is what I want, but I want you to do your will. Because I trust your will. You see, it needs trust. There is a difference between loving someone and trusting that person. We can all love people. Or we can all trust people. But it doesn't mean that love and trust are the same thing. I could love someone but not trust that that person will be there for me at a particular time. Or fulfill a certain function. Or do a certain thing. Because I know this person may have a commitment issue or time constraints or work situations or whatever. But with God, we need to trust him because we love him and he is perfect. St. James goes on to say, for what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. That's what our life is. Our life is a vapor. A vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And it's really important for us to understand that. We look at life, we live life, we hold on to life as if it's always going to be here. And there needs to be a certainty. The certainty is I can't always feel like I have nothing to hold on to. Of course I have something to hold on to. There's an extreme side of this. If you go to the very extreme understanding, and the understanding is it's but a vapor, you suddenly then think, well, life's nothing. I don't understand it. I don't know it. I have nothing to hold on to. I have nothing to grab. And so therefore, I lose hope. I feel like it's a situation I can't control. And so I lose hope and I don't do anything about it. God wants us to have input into our lives. He wants to have very real input. But the input needs to be within the understanding of this life is temporal. It's going to go away. It'll last for 5, 10, 15, 30, 100 years, and then it goes away. That's not supposed to scare me. That's not supposed to make me feel like I don't want to invest in life, because it is a lifetime. Even if it's 10 years, it's a lifetime. If it's 50 or 100 years, it's a lifetime. So I need to invest fully in my life, knowing that this life has an end. And that end is good. We always look at our lives and ourselves, and we look at things that are very long term. You want things that are going to last forever. You want things that are going to last, you know, for as long as you can. But the problem is that life isn't the same. Life is supposed to end. Otherwise, there would be no life to come. And so this concept of a vapor that rises and then disappears, is exactly how life should be. If we look at Jeremiah 12:1, we read, "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal treacherously?" We think in a very strange way. We think and say, "Lord, I love you. I love you. Righteous are you, O Lord." But there's a question I need to ask you. The question is, why are there people that I think are wicked? Why do they prosper? Why aren't I prospering? Why aren't I prospering alone? I'm a nice person, I'm a good person, I do your will, I follow your commandments. I'm supposed to be the guy who gets all the good things because I've been faithful. I'm supposed to be the one who profits, and I'm supposed to be one who wins all of those wonderful races because I've been faithful, I've been serious. So Lord, why do you make that person over there, this person who doesn't love you, who is not committed to you, he's not serious about his life for you, why is he prospering? Why is he happy? Why is there sin in the world? Why are there people dying in wars? Why are people killing other people? And so on and so forth. There are so many questions at the moment. So many questions. But those questions are in a way similar to the question that the older son asked of his father when his younger son, the prodigal son, came back. "Father, I've been with you forever. I've been here with you all the time. I've stood by you. I've worked with you. You've never ever given me even a goat to kill and make merry with my friends. You've never let me have this celebration. You've never celebrated me. What about this young son of yours? The one who took everything." And that's how we think. "Lord, what about these sinful people? They live sinful lives, yet they seem to have everything. They seem to be happy. They seem to be prosperous. They seem to be wealthy. They live an immoral life, but they seem to have everything I lack." I said, "Hang on, wait. That's not the point. You misunderstand. You look at this vapor, this life rises and then disappears. So all of these things that you're saying these people have are like that vapor. Yes, they're there. Yes, you can see them. But they rise and they disappear. What you have is far greater. What did the father say to his older son? He said, son, all I have is yours. And that's what God says to us. You think these people are prosperous? Of course they're prosperous. They're prosperous on this earth. They're prosperous financially and materially. All of this will rise and disappear. What you have, however, is what I have given you. Yes, you've been faithful. And I know you've been faithful. And so what I give you is life that will not evaporate. What I give you is that which will not rise as vapor and then disappear. Because the life you have in you is permanent. It's permanent and it's powerful. That needs a certain level of understanding though. In 1 Corinthians, St. Paul is very clear. He says, God is faithful by whom we are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. We need to remember that. We all go through very difficult times. We all go through challenges. We all go through times that we couldn't even have conceived. We wouldn't have thought possible. People who have so much and they lose everything. I've told you the story a few times, I think, and I, right at the beginning of the financial crash, I was traveling, I remember this very, very well, I was in Canada, walking into St. Mark's Church in Toronto, and it was right at the beginning of the crash. It's when things were just hitting the headlines. And a man walked in with me as I was going to start a youth meeting, and he said, can I just have a very brief word? And I usually don't speak to people as I'm walking in because everyone's waiting, but I was a few minutes early. So I said, yes, of course. So we walked up, and I still remember the exact spot where we stood. He stood and said, I want you to pray for me. Because today, I lost everything on the stock exchange. All I had went. And then he turned around and said, but I feel peaceful. I feel peaceful because I trust that God has me in his hands. Now, whether that was just his initial feeling and then he became frantic afterwards, or I hope, I pray that this feeling continued, he had that certain sense that God is faithful. God is faithful. It's easy for us to remember and hold on to the fact that God is faithful when things are good. When things are good, when we're getting our own way, when we're happy, when we're successful. When all of that happens, it is really easy for us to say God is faithful because we know he's faithful. We see the results. We see what's going on. We see what he gives us. We see what he provides. And I can testify, I can say God is faithful. But it's when things get tough that we have to constantly be reminded. He is faithful. You think you're going through a difficulty? Of course you are. And we always will. This life is unstable. The mere nature of this world we live in is that it's unstable. It goes up and down. We put our hope and our faith into things we think are absolutely permanent, but they're not. These things change around us. It is very much, this world is very much the city built on sand. Sand seems to be very strong and compacted most of the time. All it needs is a little bit of movement or a little bit of water, and it moves. And so this world is constantly moving. It is at those times when there is that movement that we need to understand and hold on to the fact that God is faithful. He is faithful, first and foremost, because as we read here from St. Paul, we are called into fellowship, the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus. Why? Why is that faithfulness? Because that is the fellowship that leads us to everlasting life. Any other fellowship we have here, friendships, relationships, work situations, careers, all of that is great, but all of that moves and changes. But the fellowship that is in Christ is the fellowship that goes through this world, through all our experiences, and into the next. And that's how God proves his faithfulness to us. Because he has bound us to the one thing that is absolutely solid. Imagine you're going to a marina where there are lots of boats. And you have temporary buoys that are out that you can hook your boat to. But the problem with these temporary buoys is they move up and down with the water. If the water rises, they go up. If the water goes down, they go down. They move, they can break free. In this marina, you are bound to the one fixed point that doesn't move. Bound to the ground, powerfully. That means that whether the water goes up or down, whether you get a huge current, whether there are storms or waves, whatever happens, you're not going anywhere. And that is God's faithfulness. He binds us to that which is solid, himself. The one unchanging element of life is God, and he binds us to himself. The church keeps reminding us, whether at the beginning of the Agveia prayers or the liturgy or weddings, baptisms, even funerals, we always start with the prayer of thanksgiving. And we give thanks to God on every occasion, in every condition, for all things. Those of you who are part of the Coptic Church, those of you who have attended Coptic services, will know this is something you almost say without even thinking. It's one of these things you just parrot off because you've heard it so much. But whether it actually means anything to our, in our lives is another issue. When we stand and we pray and we say, we thank you, Lord, on every occasion, every condition, for all things, are we really thankful to him for everything? Or are we thankful as far as we're getting our own way, but the minute things go south, we're not thankful anymore? Now, of course, you can take the Marxist line, and you can say religious is the opium of the people, and you can say that the only reason we say this is so we can reassure ourselves that if things go pear-shaped, we can still hold on to this mythical God that we've created to make ourselves feel good. Absolute nonsense. With all due respect to anyone who might think that. There is a definitive truth in the presence of God. There is a definitive truth in the truth of him being omnipotent, all-loving. There is a truth in him being all-powerful. And so the truth is, if I believe that he's all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing, and he is faithful, as we just read, and so therefore I thank him. We've all recently been following this horrible story of the Malaysian Airlines flight that was shot down. Terrible story, terrible. I mean, inconceivable. You wouldn't even think that could happen in this day and age. I remember watching the news. There was an interview with a young woman, probably in her, I'd say, mid to late 20s, carrying an infant who would only be months old. Some of you may have seen this interview. She got to the airport that day, and because it was summer season, everyone's traveling, people are traveling back home to Malaysia or traveling on holidays to Southeast Asia or wherever they're going, the plane is full. And it was oversold. So she didn't get on. And she was so upset. She had just been newly married. She was going to see her parents with her baby. She couldn't travel with her baby before that. She was going there for the first time for the grandparents to see their to say their grandchild. And she must have been furious. at that airport when they said, sorry, there's no place on the plane for you. And she, if she was Christian, I'm sure like the rest of us, would have thought, God, why did you do this? Come on, you know my parents are old. They want to see my baby. I don't know when I can go again. It's really difficult. I've paid all this money. I've made these arrangements. I'm going to lose my hotel bookings. Everyone's there waiting for me. I don't know how to contact them. And all this random stuff that goes around in our heads. And, you know, you call to speak to the manager and you want to speak to the supervisor and, you know, you want to speak to the president next, whatever you want to do. And she must have done all of that. And she didn't get on the plane. Hollywood will say to you, if you're a nice person, she seemed like a really nice person. If you're a nice person and you make all of this fuss and all of this happens, then at the last minute, God will create this sort of miracle where suddenly one seat, that's all she needed, one seat out of 300. She needed one seat to become empty. Come on, what are the odds? One seat, 0.3%. That's all. And of course, if you love God, you hold on and you'll get on this plane. But she didn't. And the plane took off. And she was there, and I'm sure she was stomping her feet, and she was really upset. But that's the only reason she's still alive to tell us that. We pray for all those who lost their lives on that plane, but we're thankful for that one life that was spared, those two lives that were spared. You see, we can't see everything. We don't know everything. We're not God. But if we believe that God is faithful, then we'll believe that He does the right thing for us. To do that, however, we need to have a certain mindset. And that mindset comes from, as we're going to soon go into the fast of St. Mary and celebrate the Blessed Virgin, Our Lady's words to the angel who came to announce the virgin divine birth to her, when she said, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. How many of us can be in that position? How many of us have had the faith and the strength to say, behold the servant of the Lord? Lord, I'm your servant. Appoint me there, I'll go there. Appoint me here, I'll go here. Tell me to stand still, I'll stand still. I'm fine with that. I'm not going to stomp my feet. I'm not going to do anything. And I learned this lesson a long time ago. 25 years ago, I left Australia, went to the monasteries in the middle of Egypt, in the wilderness, in the desert, in the middle of the sand, and thought that's where I was going to spend the rest of my life. And time and time and time again, God kept moving my life in certain directions until I stand here before you. Where am I going to be in a day's time? In a year's time? I don't know. What I have learned, however, is this. If I can stand and be thankful for where I am and give thanks to God, knowing that He is faithful, and say to Him, Lord, behold, I am your servant. Move me as you wish, do with me as you wish. Those are the times that I feel greatest peace. Of course, I need to think. And when I was asked to do this or do that or go here or go there, I had to give it thought. But at the end of the day, I knew that all it was thought. I give it thought, I consider, I think what I would like to do, I think what is best for me, but then I leave it to God. And what He does is the best possible outcome. Again, not just because I'm trying to make myself feel better, not just because it is this opiate that I'm taking to feel warm and fuzzy with whatever happens, but I truly believe it. And I'm sure many of you have had similar experiences, where at the height of your faith in God, you can actually say, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm fine. Whatever you choose for me, I'll do it. And we're able to do that. And it's the time we feel the greatest peace. Of course, based well and truly on my favorite verse in the world, and we all know what that is now, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you future and a hope. So every time I'm going through this situation of trying to make a decision and wanting to do something, I remember, okay, well, hang on, wait. I need to think, but, within the context of this, first, God is faithful. Secondly, He knows the thoughts He thinks towards me. Things of good and not evil. God's thoughts towards me are never evil, no matter how unbearable I become. And I assure you, I can sometimes be extremely unbearable, although you probably would never see that because you think I'm very charming. I can be extremely unbearable from the eyes of God. What are you doing? What are you doing? How can you do this? How can you live this? How can you say that? That's not what I made you for. It's not what I sent you to do. But in my mind, I know His thoughts towards me. Things of good and not evil, no matter what I do. His thoughts towards all of us are the same way. We are an absolute liability for God. Yet, His thoughts towards us are always for good and not evil. His thoughts towards us are always to move us forward. And His thoughts are peace and to give us future and hope. We always think, if we're in a certain stage of our lives where something happens, where do I go from here? My life has changed. My life is destroyed. You know, what happens now? And it can be from the simplest thing like, oh, my internet connection is slow. And please don't tell me you haven't had this, oh, no, what do I do now? The world is a very grim and bleak place because my internet connection is slow. Two, suffering the loss of someone who's dear to you or losing your job or having career issues or suffering a certain way. And you really think, genuinely, where am I going? He gives us future. And it's not just any future. It's future with a hope. What is the hope in? We go back to what we were told earlier, that He has called us to fellowship with His Son. The hope is that I am one with Christ and I have life here and abundant based on His love for me, based on His faithfulness, and based on His desire for me to have future and a hope regardless of the world, even if it is a vapor, may give me. He is solid and He is faithful and He is everlasting. And glory be to God forever.